We have a dad that's going to preach, a good brother, amen? And so, Pastor Paul, would you come and share the word? Give him a hand.
I think there might have been a message in the gifts today with the bungee cords. You guys got to keep it together. How many of you feel like you don't always keep it together? In my flesh, I cannot keep it together. It's only because of the cross, only because of my Savior, Jesus, that I can do. But in Him, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Man, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a brand new creature. I'm not that old guy I used to be. How many are glad you're not what you used to be? Amen. Think about fathers, and there's so many levels of fathers that we can think about. Some of you, even women, have had to take the place of fathers. You've had to pull a dual role, and you got out there and played with bugs and frogs and whatever it was, even though it may not have been your thing, because the little boy in your life was interested in that. There's others of you who never had a child, but yet you've been fathers. You have fathered those that had no fathers. We've also fathered those that had biological fathers, but they weren't there. They weren't present. Many times it's because they had no father. It's a generational curse. Many of us that came to know Jesus, we had a really difficult time understanding God the Father. Our sense of what a father was perverted to the point that it was hard and difficult to understand the goodness of God, to understand the grace of God, to understand the mercies of God, because our earthly understanding of what a father was perverted and maligned. There is no earthly father that's perfect, but there's some that did a better job than others. I'm thankful for my earthly father, but I had a lot of them during my upbringing, a lot of those that were in that place. Purposes of a father is to, oh, like even the scripture says, to admonish and to correct and to chastise. I didn't like that part. But to encourage, to instill within the child, I like you. You're a good person. If you really work at it, you can do just about anything you really want to in life. But not all of us had that. And in some ways, it was imbalanced. But I want to encourage you as Christians to not be afraid to take the role of a father, whether you be male or female, and to represent what it is that God the Father has for all people. Because in Him, we live, we move, we have our existence or our being. Not in myself, but in Jesus. And when you have Jesus percolating around inside of you, then you have something to give. You have something to offer to other people. Our first biological father, common to all of us, was Adam. We don't get huge amounts of information, but we do know that in the beginning they walked with God. They talked with God. God come and he met with them in the cool of the day. They had fellowship. And then that pesky rascal, the devil, came along. Adam sinned. Because of Adam, sin entered the world. It's been a struggle ever since. It's been a tough go ever since. Then a second biological father that's common to us all is this fella named Noah. In those days, God was fairly disgusted with the way things turned out. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the lineage up to the time of Noah, there's not a real lot said about what the character or development in the lives of these various men were. Talks about Enoch. He only lived to be about 365 years old because God took him. The rest of them were in the sevens and eights and 900 years. But then along comes Noah. He's different because he had a great, great, great granddad that knew God. There's some of us that we're still looking for that promise concerning children, concerning grandchildren. And to be, our burden needs to be for those great-grandchildren, this next generation, man. The world right now is a mess. We as Christians have got to get serious and up on our knees, not just here together, but individually. Your life has to be consecrated before God, that you would take unto yourself a burden that says, Lord, save this generation. Lord, start with me. You can't look around and say, well, he's a mess. Work on him. No, Lord, work on me. Here I am, Lord. I know I'm a mess. I can't straighten it out in myself. I seem to have no power over the will and the work of my flesh, but I know that in you there are promises according to the cross. And according to what the gospel offers me, I look unto you, who is the author, and you promised to finish it, to finish my faith. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is something that fathers need to have, is grace. It can't just all be hard, hard, hard. There has to be an element of grace. And many times it's the mama that has to work that in there. He's only three. Show some compassion and some grace. But this grace that Noah had was from the Father, because God looked upon his heart. He looked upon his life, and God showed forth grace unto him, even when grace through Christ and the work of the cross was not available. Because he was doing the best that he could with what he had available and his understanding of God at that point in time. He was obedient to the things that were taught him, and God imputed grace unto him. How many of us need grace? How many of you are willing to show grace? I mean, it's not always easy. But we look unto this man We just say humbly, Lord, I need the grace that you showed unto Noah. When all the rest of the world was messed up, and they were vile, and they were wicked, and there were only four men and four women on the face of the earth that God felt deserved to go into that ark. Out of the millions and or possibly billions of people on the earth at that time, there were eight. Tells us how wicked the world was. How messed up it was. And Jesus said to his disciples when they asked him about the end times, well, it's going to be like it was in the day of Noah. Oh, my. And we got more than eight here. This is cool. And we know that all around the world that there are millions of Christians. There are millions of those that stand up for the Word of God, that stand up for truth, justice, righteousness, and live lives of compassion. But we all need that grace that Noah found. In verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. It's talking about that word generations. We think of it in terms of you live this long and then this long. It's talking about the people or the group that he was with, okay? These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations or in his lifetime, and Noah walked with God. Okay, so we got 3 points here. He was just. How many of you think have done some things that weren't really quite just? This is another attribute. Because of his relationship with God, he was a just man, meaning that he did fairly. He was honest in his dealings. He was fair with those that he was in contact with every day. I'm sure that in that 100 years of building the ark, there were some pretty snotty people come by. But he was still just. He did not recompense evil for evil. But he recompensed evil with good. And I'm sure we don't get information about this, and I've heard many sermons about how he preached these fantastic sermons to these people, and you know, and they mocked him and whatever. It doesn't really say that, but it's quite possible. You can't be working on a big boat for 100 years without something going on. Because he was 500 years old when he started this project, and then it was 600, and I've got to study this because it's interesting. The Bible tells us how many years, how many months, and how many days it was. It seems like, well, what does that matter? I got to figure that out. He was a just man, and he dealt fairly. Probably with his sons, because it says he was a just man. So we that have hearts of fathers and or mothers towards other people that aren't biologically ours to learn justice, to show the grace, to be just, to be fair, to be equal, to be considerate. And it says that he was perfect amongst those people. You didn't have to be really great in comparison to the world in order to see that there was a difference. Because their minds, it's like similar to after all this goes on and about 3 generations down there, and then there's a Tower of Babel and God confuses the language. This is because if I don't do this, because men's minds are just made up to be a mess. Evil continually. Well, that was the problem here with the people. Said that their minds, their hearts, their souls, their livelihoods were just evil continually. We see a lot of that. It's like they go home in the evening and they spend 2 or 3 hours trying to figure out, how can I be more wicked tomorrow? How can we pass more laws that are stupider than the ones we did today? That are more vile and are more wicked than what we did today? The mind is given over to wickedness and vileness when there is no respect for, no consideration for, no idea of a God, let alone a Son of God and a cross and what was accomplished there. We as Christians have the responsibility to pray, because we don't know at what point it will stay the hand of God. Things are going along as predicted, as prophesied, as foretold. However, if enough people rise up and say, we don't want this, we want to stand for truth, equity, justice, righteousness in the earth, it can stay the hand of God. We see this in situations in the Old Testament. God said, I'm going to destroy him. But there was a man like a Moses that got up and said, no, Lord, don't do it. I beseech you, have mercy on them. Yeah, they're a wicked bunch, but have mercy on them. And Noah walked with God. We need to learn how to effectively walk with God. Wow. It was God's original intention, that was the deal in the Garden of Eden, that he would come, he would walk with, he would commune with, they would talk together, they would fellowship together. But that got broken. Not because of God, but because of man. But Noah pressed in. He said, regardless of what I see going on around me, regardless of the crazy things going on in the world, I will walk with God. What were the words of Joshua? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's not empty. I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to take a stand right here, right now. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. I don't want to walk in defeat. I don't want to walk in bondage. I don't want to crawl around in the gutter of life. I want to walk with Jesus. He has called us sons. And as sons, we're also heirs. Heirs of the components concerning the kingdom of God. Concerning things that we don't completely know. It's a whole different realm. It's a realm that's not run by time. It's not run by gravity. It's not run by distance. It's run according to God. It's a whole different realm. We only get little glimpses into it, parts of it, pieces of it. Man, so far, he was a man that received grace from God. He was a just man. He was perfect or honorable in his ways, and he walked with God. He was an obedient man. God comes along. And he starts to tell Noah. He says, I'm going to destroy man and all the living creatures on the face of the earth. And so you need to get ready because I'm bringing two of every unclean and seven of every clean animal to you at a certain time when you're done with that ark. And this is how big I want you to make it. He tells them the exact dimensions. It's about 450 feet long and, you know, about 75 feet wide. If you translate your cubits, you know. Maybe about 45 feet tall. He said, put a window in up there. Put a door on the side. Get it ready. Bring in food for everything that will be in there. You need to consider each animal and what their needs will be. And you and your family, what your needs will be. So he spends 100 years. How many of you expect to hit 100? It's longer than our lifetime. He spent on this one task, but he was obedient and faithful to do that which God required of him to do. Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we in a place of obedience? We know that sometimes we are. We can tell it, we can feel it, and other times it's like, oh man, I just went down some rabbit trail somewhere. I got messed up. I got turned around, going the wrong direction. But he had to stay focused on the task at hand to do all that God required of him to do. We've got to get that burden, folks. We want to be spiritual fathers. We've got to get that burden going and burning in our hearts and asking the Holy Spirit, get a hold of me. Move in me. There's need of people that are willing to sacrifice and to give. Wow, I'm doing good. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, that's where it talks about this obedience. It doesn't say that specifically, but it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Work on it, folks. Are you doing all that God has commanded? How do you even know what it is that God through Christ is wanting out of you? You got to get into that word, right? Here's what the word says. Therefore, I must have the word living in and through me. Wow. I know somebody's got the answer to this next question. This past Wednesday, when Seth was speaking, he had three main points. You got that written down there, right? Yeah. I was watching her. See, I was sitting back there. And every week I asked, do you remember what happened at the last service? And I was like, he had three main points. What was the first one? Praise and worship, yes. We have to live a life of praise and worship, and we're going to get to that one here in chapter 7. Then the second one was, be in the Word. If you want to know what the will of God is for you, you have to be in the Word. You can't get it just when you come here. It's not sufficient. This is like an appetizer. That's all it is. You need to have the Word of God working in you continually, constantly, every day. Like I said before, when I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus, you've got to be in that Word to know that. What was the third thing? Prayer. See, somebody is taking notes. I've got them in my phone. Through prayer and supplication, the building blocks of a relationship with Jesus, the building blocks of a relationship and knowing the heart of the Father are these things. Have you learned how to really worship? What does it mean? Where does it come from? How does it manifest itself? Am I just doing what everybody else does? Or am I actually feeling something going on inside of me that is wanting to reach out and to bless God? He is holy. There's none other that is holy. Everything else is like withering grass, dried up and can be blown in the wind. But God is faithful. He is holy. He's pure. He's consistent. But Noah was obedient to those things. And that meant that on a daily basis, he had to have some kind of relationship with God. Now, he didn't have scriptures as such, but there was stuff passed down orally. And I'm sure that he meditated on things. But he followed rituals to some degree. It wasn't established like it would be later on with Moses. But God still required sacrifice, which brings us to chapter 7 and verse 1. Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Speaking of his righteousness. Wow, God found him to be righteous. Abraham did things according to his conscience, and God imputed it unto him as righteousness. When these men of old did what they knew was right in their hearts and then their minds, God assigned it unto them as righteousness. We have a new righteousness. We have Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. There's nothing of myself that I can do because all of my righteousness is as, come on, filthy rags. It's nasty. Boy, I need Jesus. Don't feel hopeless. Just reach out to Jesus. Press into the Lord. Press in. Move in. Say, I want more. We had another preacher emphasizing that, right? Knock, 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 knock. Before Jesus, wasn't much of anything they could do about demons. But when Jesus came manifest in the flesh as the Son of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit come upon him, he dealt with demons. You can deal with demons. You can deal with the devil. And that woman that Corey was speaking about that had that daughter that was possessed, man, she is kept after him. Why? She wasn't a Jew, right? That was it. She was of a different lineage. She was supposedly not worthy. But she said, I'll be satisfied with the crumbs. I still believe that you can manifest your power on my behalf in this situation. And Lord, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let go until you give me the answer to my prayer, to my request. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Rain 40 days, 40 nights. They floated out on the waters, sent out ravens, sent out doves. Dove came back with an olive branch. Next time, didn't come back. He opened up the top of the ark. He'd see dry land out there, so they decided to get out. So what's he do? Remember, there were 7 clean animals. So he had animals that he could sacrifice and still have propagation. Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the altar. This speaks of that first point that Seth was talking about, to worship God. This is what he understood in terms of worshiping God, because this is what God required, a blood sacrifice. So he was obedient even in his worship to do what God required at that point in time. We need to be obedient to what God is requiring from our lives. I cannot just do things that please me. If you can go out fishing and catch some nice big ones, that's good, but it can't consume your life. Every time I see a boat for sale on the side of the road, I think, Lord, oh, flesh, get behind me. We have to live our lives, but our first priority is God and that relationship and developing that. Because out of that relationship with Him, we are able to minister to other people. That's what he wants. Jesus said, I want to see the fruit. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Wow. It was there that I saw my sight. I received my sight. It was when I understood the cross. When I understood the heart of the Father that would send the Son to die in my place. Then my understanding of what a right father is begins to get healed. It doesn't happen all at once. Maybe for some it does. But usually it takes time, and over time, the healing takes place. And there's more salve of the Holy Spirit that's put on there. Oil of the Holy Spirit is put onto those wounds. And a healing takes place so that I understand the perfection and the concept of a loving Father. Father God cares about all of us. And through you, He can minister through you. God's not done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. He sends out these spirits, these components of the Spirit of God into all the earth and to seek out the hearts of men. And to draw them unto Himself, to see what's going on. You willing to seek Him? We need to seek Him. We need to look for Him. We need to bow before Him. And with all honesty in our hearts, say, Jesus, like the prophet said, here I am. And I know I'm not perfect, so I may have to get a coal right from the altar to come down and put it on my mouth. Because my mouth gets kind of messed up. So anybody have trouble with their mouth sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about just cursing and swearing. I'm talking about kind of stuff. The nagging disease. Nobody has that. Bobby, what are you saying? He's wiping his brow. Praise God. Let's stand together. If any of you desire prayer and are needing a touch and are really wanting God to minister into your life because you know, man, I'm trying and I'm getting there, but I want more of Jesus, I just invite you to come down this morning. We're going to pray with you. Because we, as a body of Christ here locally, but also Christians throughout the world, they are feeling this necessity. They are feeling the squeeze of what's going on in the world. It's not imagination. It's real. Amen. Father, we just thank you today that you're our perfect example of a father. We're thankful today, Lord, that you were willing to sacrifice on our behalf. All these are examples of your heart towards us. I ask, pray that you send the Holy Spirit to work in each one of these hearts, Lord, that are here today, and to deal with each one severally as you will it, to minister into their lives and to fix what needs to be fixed, to soothe what needs to be soothed, heal what needs to be healed, to cast off and to cast out what needs to be cast off and out. But we lift our hands unto you today, Jesus. We praise your name, Holy Lord. Just like those angels do around the throne, and they cry out all the time, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Wow. Who was, who is, and is to come. We thank you for your majesty, Lord. As Brother Clinton sings that majesty song every time, it just kind of makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. To think and to consider the majesty that you are, Lord, and how precious that you are. Go with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.